One of the biggest supply chain concerns right now is materials costs. While most stakeholders would like to see costs go down, everyone would at least like some clarity on what prices might be like, especially for cotton, which plays a key role in the apparel supply chain. While nobody has that proverbial crystal ball that can see the future, there are people who have the kind of first-hand market knowledge that helps them to make more accurate predictions. I'm Jane Singer, and welcome back to A Seat at the Table. In each episode, we sit down with some of the smartest and most innovative people who join us as guests on this show and share a ton of valuable business and life-enhancing insights. This show is now listened to in 139 countries, so a big shout-out to all of our esteemed listeners. I'm so happy to have you here with us. Today we're joined by Dr. O.A. Cleveland, Professor Emeritus Agriculture Economics at Mississippi State University in the United States. Dr. Cleveland has over 50 years of experience in commodities as an analyst, professor, and advisor and consultant to some of the world's biggest cotton organizations. His achievements are far too many to list here. However, if you are looking to get a sharp view of what's happening with cotton prices, and more importantly, what pricing could look like going forward, there is no better person to ask than Dr. Cleveland. In this podcast, he will be giving a realistic look at the outlook for world cotton consumption, where we can expect current cotton to trend, and trends for 2025 cotton prices. While materials costs play a critical role in our supply chains, just as important is having the right people in the right roles. To achieve this, leading organizations turn to AsiaNet consultants. They have over three decades of boots-on-the-ground experience, giving them critical market knowledge and contacts. To learn more about AsiaNet consultants, check out their website at AsiaNetConsultants.com. That's AsiaNetConsultants.com. I'll leave a link for it in the show notes. If you've ever listened to a podcast and thought, I'd love to be a guest on one of these shows, but you have no idea of how to make that happen, actually, there's a simple six-step formula to landing guest spots. Follow this and you will be able to start being a podcast guest. If you'd like to learn how to do this for yourself, simply go to seat.fm/podcast course. That's seat.fm/podcast course. I'll leave a link in the show notes for this episode. And of course, all of these links that I have mentioned will be over on our podcast website at seat.fm. Meanwhile, let's sit down with Dr. Cleveland and talk about cotton prices. Well, Ollie, I am so happy to have you with us here on A Seat at the Table because cotton is a big issue for many, many of our listeners. And right now, people are very, I would say somewhere between interested to concerned, right, about how pricing and supply, et cetera, is going to be playing out. So you're the man when it comes to talking about this.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here, and we'll see if we can shed light on this. And I thank people for their time. I know it's a huge investment on their part.
Well, thanks. I mean, maybe we can jump right in by just talking about from your perspective. And I know that, you know, you've had years of studying this and really, you know, having your hands in the clay on cotton and cotton supply and outlook. What do you feel is the outlook for world cotton consumption? Because obviously consumption plays a key role in terms of how pricing will ultimately play out.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, when we talk about this, we always talk about production first, and then we talk about consumption. But consumption is the key. And more so, in my opinion, for the past 2 years, consumption has been the issue more so than production. And I would have to say that I'm still a bit concerned about consumption, at least in the coming, certainly the coming 6 months and probably into January of 2025. Our world consumption this year is only 113 million bales, and that compares to world production also of only 113 million bales, and I emphasize only, both for production and consumption, meaning that we've got about 83 million bales across the world in storage, with two-thirds of that in combined China and India. But consumption, the big consumption engine, of course, is the consumer, and consumer income, consumer discretionary income, And more so than other countries, if I may, and I may be proven to be incorrect, but I think my data shows it. Much of the world consumption for so many years has depended on the U.S. consumer. And as we look at consumption, as we look at consumption of apparel imports from China into the United States, that's down over the past 2.5 years. As we look at just plain cotton, just cotton goods coming out of China, that's down over the last 2 years. So that speaks to the consumer. And it's as we look at discretionary income, I think we see that the consumer just has not been spending money on cotton and apparel goods. So the short term, I still remain very concerned. To ad lib on that some more, I think we are still facing in many countries an inflationary problem. India might be the one exception. I think the economy continues to be strong relative to other countries. But inflation remains a problem regardless of what our official story is. It's, as we look at the data, it's a very major problem. Certainly across Europe, inflation is a problem. The Chinese consumer is still a little weak, so to speak. The Chinese economy is still struggling. It's come off of its lows, but it's still very much struggling. And as a consequence, consumption has been a problem. Now, the flip side of that would be if we don't produce it, then the consumer can't get it. And that has that's added to the problem somewhat. We've had two consecutive smaller than what we would have expected crops, certainly here in the United States and basically around the globe. But still, the major problem has been world economic conditions. I would say, go ahead.
No, I think that you're absolutely right about that, that sometimes we're not aware of just how difficult some of the global economic situation is in terms of its impact on this volume of consumption.
Exactly. And I was going to look at a number I thought I had here. If we go back just as I'm purposely picking point estimates. If we go back to the year 2015, we actually note that world consumption is on a downtrend. Now, we certainly go back to the year 2000, it's on an uptrend. And as we look at the line over time, it's certainly a significant uptrend. But just since the year 2005, we're consuming less cotton on an annual basis. And again, it's much of that is consumer-based. Additionally, I hate to say this, but the cotton industry has done a very poor job in promoting itself. We were behind, we were late. We did not jump on the bandwagon, and man-made fibers beat us to the punch in promoting sustainability. Now, how in the world we in the cotton industry could not fight that off, but we did not. In that regard, I note a World Wildlife Fund research project that you may be very familiar with, but it tells us that the global average weekly plastic consumption, ingestion of plastic by the human, the weekly consumption amounts to the average weight of a credit card. Now, a credit card is light, but we can't believe that we actually consume that much weight, light as it is, in plastic. Wow. And most of that comes from our water, from the beer we might drink, from shellfish that we eat, even salt. But so what has happened is that the man-made fiber through natural washing, cleaning, as moves into the soil, as the spoil, the water spoil moves into the soil, it gets into the soil system, it gets into salt, it gets into the ocean, and is consumed by shellfish and other fish that way. So, you know, I think now cotton has finally figured that out, and certainly with biodegradability and sustainability, without question, cotton is the fiber of choice. But we got caught, and we're still paying for it.
I think that's really interesting because the perception typically from a consumer point of view seems to be that cotton being a natural fiber would be sustainable. So it's interesting that you're saying that you feel that actually, and perhaps maybe it's higher up in the supply chain, that people are seeing cotton as less sustainable.
I think we are turning that around, but we did get caught in that. And the problem was that the man-made fiber did an excellent job of promoting cotton as a huge and very inefficient consumer of water. And they also pinned the tag of very heavy use of pesticides and insecticides. Now, again, I would say that the World Wildlife Federation has debunked that, but it's been a fight. And we're seeing our consumption per capita consumption is, or the world cotton consumption, excuse me, yes, cotton consumption based on the total world fibers, we're down to only about 21%. And as late as about 30 years ago, we were in the neighborhood of about 37, 38, 40%, and now only about 21%.
Wow, that's really a significant change.
Yes, it is. And it, I was actually thinking we were still around 26%, and I ran the numbers this week and double checked them to make sure that was correct. And yes, that's where we are.
So in terms of all of this impact on pricing, how do you see that playing out? I mean, I know we can only predict as best we can, and certainly the further ahead we try to go, the more difficult it is. But from your perspective, what do you see?
Okay, great question, and thank you. Well, certainly we did not see as an industry, at least I've not talked to anyone that would claim that they had predicted the cotton prices going to basically a dollar a pound basis, the New York ICE futures contract. We were probably stuck in the mid-80s. The very highest we could go was about 88 cents. And a pipe dream saying, well, it looks like from a pure technical perspective, maybe 80, 91, 92 cents. But we did a dollar. We did it on the basis of a much smaller crop than we anticipated. And we were late figuring out that this crop was, in fact, that low. And most of that was tended to be more so in the U.S. And, of course, the major cotton futures market in the world is in the U.S. So they were looking more at U.S. conditions. We have a great crop coming on in Brazil. We have a great crop coming on in Australia. But right now, we're looking at a shortage. Those crops that are coming on are not the Southern Hemisphere crops, what we call countercyclical. So they're just now beginning to start, not even quite yet, the harvesting season. So once we get into the June and July time period, I would expect some of this Southern Hemisphere crop, the early crop, to hit the market, and that's going to pull prices down. I think, however, we have to look in terms of from now to probably about 6 to 7 weeks from now, in market terminology, cotton market terminology, what we call first notice day on the May futures contract, about 6 weeks from now. I think at that point in time, we will begin to see cotton futures prices begin to soften. We'll still have the July futures contract that will carry us over with what we call old crop, the 2023 production. So I think probably we're stuck with the 90s or certainly the very high 80s with another chance to run up to a dollar, but it'll be short-lived. Speculators are driving this. There is no cotton in the United States to export. It's all been sold. And the big Australian and the big Brazilian crops are just not ready yet. So the market is still trending in our trending basis U.S. conditions. Certainly China has a wealth of cotton, but the Chinese mills report, at least the information I get, that they are fully stocked with the raw cotton at their yard. They also indicate that they are fully stocked with yarn. So they have cotton, raw cotton, and they have yarn. So they're not looking to purchase any in the short term. Now, the Chinese government is still purchasing to move into their reserve storage program, but I would think at these prices, they're slowing down considerably. There have been some cancellations, but not enough to say that's a problem. But anyway, I would just to recap that, I would say I think we look for another 6 weeks or so that we're looking at the very high 80s to possibly as high as a dollar. And then we begin to back off. There's a 10-cent difference between the price of cotton today and the future price for December. Now, come July, that has to narrow. That has to come into about 3 cents. And so either December has to go higher or May and July have to go lower. Typically what happens, they both move together. But given the crop that we're seeing another 16.3, 16.5 million bale crop in 2024, next year, or this that will be planted and harvested actually in 25, still called the 24 crop in for Brazil. We're seeing that probably coming in based on what on current conditions at another 16 and a half million bale crop. Australia will have another maybe as large as 5 million bales. India will have a large increase in plantings this year, as will the U.S., as will Pakistan. So consequently, we're looking at an increased crop this year, to reiterate, 113 million bales. I would say the 24 crop will be approximately 117 to 121 million bales. So we've got a big world crop coming on. And still, I'm concerned about consumption, certainly into early 25. So I think we see pressure on the December 24 futures contract today at 83, 84 cents. I think we move that into the 70s. Now, we get excellent weather, it moves to 75 cents or even below. We get horrible weather like we've seen the last 2 years. We can stay close to 85 to 90 cents again. But I think I'll say the typical crop, the normal, and I don't know any industry today that has a normal, but I'll say if we have normal conditions, we should expect cotton prices to retreat after the June, July 2024 time period.
Interesting. I think that a lot of people are really looking at that closely because obviously there is tremendous amount of price pressure throughout the entire supply chain in the apparel sector. And so people are going to want to try to see how you can possibly minimize, right, your materials costs. Do you think that people will be holding back, waiting for the price to drop, or do you think that they may face a possible shortage at that time?
Now, what I am seeing now, and this is very early, but I'm seeing the data that suggests that mills are buying cotton today for delivery from August, September, October, and they are delaying the price, the actual physical pricing of that, with the intent to use this December futures contract with the hope that it would come down to a lower level. And I would say in writing, I have predicted that in writing that that's going to happen. But at the same time, we predict a lot of things that are wrong.
Well, yeah, predicting is really difficult. And, you know, you have to always listen to predictions, right, and understand that they're just that. They're a best possible guess. But certainly you have the huge background and the knowledge of the industry to be able to predict more accurately than probably most of us.
Well, I'm lucky. Thank you.
So I think overall, when you are looking at the outlook for cotton, and as we just said, right, it's only a best guess, but do you see, if you were to say, it would be more positive, more negative, or about the same as it is now?
I would say it's a little bit more positive because we get to the point, if you don't grow it or if you don't produce it, you can't sell it. So we need to get cotton in front of the consumer. And the farmer's standpoint, the farmer's link in that chain is he has to produce the bale of cotton so it can move into the marketing system. So we need more cotton to be produced. We were, again, go back to that number again, only 113 million bales produced this year. We would like to think in terms of at least 120 million bales, 7 million bales more are produced every year. We've had a number of years where we produced 122 to 124 million. We really would like to get up to about 125, and that way the mill, the apparel textile, the spinning mill, the apparel mill, and the stores, the chain stores, can put cotton goods in front of a consumer, and everybody is happy, and the all members of the supply chain make money.
Well, that's ideal. I think everybody is hoping for that. Now, just before we wrap up, is there anything that you feel that perhaps people in the supply chain need to know about cotton, or perhaps are misunderstanding about cotton at the moment?
Well, again, and you, Phil, many times have a better feel for this than I do, but in my opinion, we allowed ourselves to be so beat up with respect to sustainability. I think we need to just continue to preach that. I think all of us understand the comfortableness of cotton, the performance of cotton. It's there. Consumers have told us that. So we just need to get the volume of cotton so we can put on the shelf a product that's very affordable. And I think everybody, in one sense, that's understood, but another sense, it has to start at the farm level where the production base is. I don't know of anyone in the industry that's picking on the textile industries, whether it be from the spinning mill up to the fabric finishers anywhere, that feel like there is an abnormal profit or an economic profit. I think they feel that basically it's a supply problem. It's not to be that the production is that not there. We have, cotton is blessed to have excellent genetics. We can grow a long, strong, very bright piece of cotton. The genetics are there. We've had a little problem with weather. Cotton has become an extremely efficient user of water. The entire industry has promoted that. And rightfully so, the world environmental agencies have pushed cotton that way. And thankfully, cotton has responded.
Well, I think that's really important for people to know. And I think you're right. There is a lot around the efforts that cotton has made, as you're saying, to reduce water consumption as well as reduce pesticides and so forth. So I think you're right. That's an important story. And I really appreciate your sharing not only that, but also the outlook on cotton pricing, because I think that that is a very big concern to many, many people in the supply chain. So, you know, I really appreciate your taking the time and shedding some light on that.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and I thank you very much, and please call anytime.
Well, I certainly will. We certainly would look forward to updates from your side.